This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Earlier today, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell painted a dire picture of the economy. Powell warned that an onslaught of bankruptcies could hamper the economy even more. Many families and businesses say they do not have much time to wait for Congress to pass another stimulus package. We know you have questions about the economy, and NPR's chief economics correspondent Scott Horsley is back with us to help us answer them. Welcome back, Scott. Nice to hear from you again.
It's good to be with you.
So what more did Powell have to say about the economy today?
Well, he cautioned that while we are all struggling with the economic fallout from this pandemic, the pain is most extreme for those at the bottom of the income ladder, those who can least afford it. That has been reflected in some of the recent economic data, and Powell pointed to an ominous Fed survey that's due to be published tomorrow that's going to show nearly 4 out of 10 workers in households making less than $40,000 a year lost jobs in March. Now, that's an especially jarring setback for people who were just beginning to enjoy the benefits of the really robust job market that we had before this health crisis began.
I mean, it sounds as though Jay Powell is saying, you know, Congress, you know, get back to work. And as we've been hearing, as we've heard earlier in this program, that, you know, there seems to be a serious difference of opinion about this. What do you think? Do you think that they will listen?
You know, I wouldn't say the Fed chairman was telling Congress to get to work. He's usually pretty careful to stay in his lane and not try to dictate to lawmakers how they should do their jobs. But to the extent Congress is inclined to provide more life support for the economy, Powell was certainly cheering them on. He stressed that while the economy should recover once we get to the other side of this pandemic, a lot of small businesses won't survive that long without additional help from the federal government. And he said if a lot of businesses and families go bankrupt waiting for that government help, then there is more of a risk of long-lasting damage to the U.S. economy.
Lots of questions for you today, so let's get to those. John in Sacramento wants to know about all the stimulus spending that you just mentioned.
In this economic stimulus, money is being pumped into the economy. Where is it ending up?
Okay, so some of it has already gone to people, right, through the direct payments. Where else?
Right. Some of it is going directly to people through those $1,200 relief payments or the $600 a week unemployment benefits that Congress authorized as part of that more recent stimulus package. Together, those account for about $500 billion. There's also federal aid going to businesses through that emergency loan program we've been talking about, the Paycheck Protection Program. Those loans are designed to be forgiven, so that's another $660 billion or so that Congress is authorized. Lawmakers have set aside some money for specific industries that are hurting, like the airlines. That's designed to maintain some air service and also keep airline employees on the payroll. And then there is a big chunk of money that's being used as sort of seed capital to support what could be trillions of dollars of lending by the Federal Reserve. Those are sort of the major categories of federal relief. There's also been a smaller amount of money set aside for coronavirus testing and also vaccine development.
So we have a question from one of the people who says that he got one of those stimulus checks. His name is Paul. Here it is.
So I got my check. Is that it? Or is there going to be another installment and maybe another installment until we're out of the woods?
So, Scott, is that a one-and-done situation?
Well, it to be determined. As of now, the $1,200 relief payments are a one-and-done. Of course, the $600 a week unemployment payments continue. They're due to run through the end of July. Now, House Democrats have floated this $3 trillion proposal that would include another round of direct payments to individuals, sort of a follow-on payment, along with additional help for the unemployed and funding for hard-hit state and local governments. But while the earlier relief bills passed with relatively broad bipartisan support, there appears to be little Republican appetite for this new House proposal from the Democrats, so it's not likely to go anywhere in the Senate. Could there be a compromise that provides an additional lifeline, the kind of thing that Fed Chairman Jerome Powell was suggesting? Maybe, but we're not really seeing that sort of consensus just yet.
As you've heard, Scott Horsley's been with us many evenings to answer questions about the economy, and he is still taking questions. So if you have a question for Scott, go to npr.org/nationalconversation. On social media, you can use the hashtag NPRConversation. And now we have a phone number. You can call and leave a message at 202 202- 203-0386. That is 202-403-0386. All right, Scott, the Federal Reserve has taken a number of stimulus measures like lowering interest rates to zero, among them. Any sense of what they might do next?
Right. Cutting interest rates is the sort of traditional tool in the Fed toolkit when it has to face a downturn. And in this case, the central bank acted very quickly to cut interest rates to close to zero very early on. Since then, the Fed has unveiled a whole bunch of emergency lending programs, some of which it used during the financial crisis a dozen years ago, some brand new, including direct lending to mid-sized businesses and even local and county governments, which the Fed has never done before. The Fed has been very aggressive in pumping money into just about every corner of the financial markets where there might be a problem in order to keep the wheels of finance turning. But while the Fed is the lender of last resort, it cannot simply give money away. Only Congress can do that. And so the Fed is using its virtual printing presses to buy a lot of government debt and give Congress the funds it needs to help bankroll some of those congressional giveaways.
We've got another question. This is from Alexandre in Lexington, Virginia. Let's hear it.
I was curious to know what the economic impact is going to be on the smaller local governments around the U.S.
So, Scott, what do we know about that? What kind of financial shape are local governments are in?
They are in really dire straits. Both state and local revenues have tanked because the sales tax and income taxes they typically rely on for revenues, they've been drying up. People aren't buying very much, and they're not earning a lot of money to pay income taxes on. At the same time, expenses for health care and social services on state and local governments are increasing. And unlike the federal government, states generally have to balance their books. They can't just put it all on the credit card. So unless they do get a financial lifeline from the federal government, we are likely to see more layoffs at the state and local level. We saw that during the Great Recession a decade or more ago. And we already saw nearly a million state and local government jobs cut just last month. So that could be sort of a whole secondary wave of this downturn, unless there's some financial support coming from the federal government.
We need to take a short break. And Scott, I know you're going to stay with us so we can answer more questions from listeners. So stay with us. We're going to get to more questions with NPR's chief economics correspondent, Scott Horsley, after this short break.